ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But some people, no matter what, they're just going to be mean to you. That's just how some people are. I don't know why. They just are. You just love them. They may not be your closest friend. That's okay. Not everyone's going to be your closest friend. That's just the way it is. But you love them. Don't let anger or hate build up inside of you. Let the love of God flow through you. Because really, retaliation is not what God has called us to do. We don't repay evil for evil. We let God take care of it. We pray for them. Our desire is to see them restored. I've kind of talked about this before, but if you render or give evil for evil, that's normal human behavior. Someone hits me, I'm hitting them back, right? That's just normal. Someone does evil to me, I'm going to do evil to them. On the other end, if someone does good to me, I'm going to treat them nice. I'm going to do good to them. That's just human, normal human behavior. You don't have to be a Christian to do that, right? Absolutely. If you render evil for good or you hurt someone who's done good to you, that's just demonic. Okay, that's just evil. And it's wrong. But here's the difference now. As a Christian, we're to do good to those who do evil to us. Those who spitefully treat us. That's not human nature. That's being Christ-like. That's having his nature, his love flow in us and through us. And it's really easy to talk about it. But when you're presented in a situation, it's a lot harder, isn't it? And that's where you have to say, Lord, help me right now. Because if you don't, Lord, this guy's going to get a big lip. And it's hard. But you do. You say, Lord, help me not to say the wrong thing. We may not hit them, but we may say something that may hurt them. So we have to be careful. That's why, isn't it easy to speak? It's a lot harder to hold back and say, okay, Lord, I know what I want to say. What do you want me to say, right? Help me out here because this is not going to be good. And that's even within a marriage relationship. Because how many times do we say things that we really don't mean, but it just flows out. And once it's out there, the hurt's already there. So we need to be careful. We're not of darkness, we're of the light. We need to surrender to what the Spirit is showing us. Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 3 through 4, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And I love how the apostles responded. It makes me smile. They said, Lord, increase our faith. We can't do that, Lord. That's a really hard one. Lord, please increase our faith here. We need help. That's tough, man. And that's what we need to do. We're to think good of people, not evil. We should. We can become so jaded in this country, we don't trust anyone. And we kind of see that today, especially with the elections coming up. And it's not till October, but boy, I wish it was sooner, right? But it's so crazy. There's people who will say, I would never, no matter what Trump does, they would never support him. Well, that's just wrong. I mean, he may do something good. I mean, taking out the terrorist Soleimani was a good thing. How could you not say that was good? But they dislike the man. There's the problem. And that's what we have to be careful. Yes, there were many things when President Obama was in office that I disliked. I really thought it was horrible, the things he did. When he took out Saddam Hussein, awesome, great job. There were things he did that I appreciated. I don't hate the man. I hate some of the things he stood for. And I respected the office of presidency. Look at verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul doesn't say rejoice when things are going really well in your life. He says rejoice always. How? Because our joy is not based on the outward circumstances in the Lord, and he never changes. And I can't, there are things that happen. I can't say, oh man, it was awesome. I lost my job. Praise the Lord. How could you do that? I mean, I don't know. It makes no sense. But we could say, Lord, I don't get this, but I'm going to trust in you. Or the death of a loved one. You say, well, praise the Lord. Well, I mean, you're going to miss them. Yes, if they're a Christian, they're in heaven. That is awesome. But your heart hurts. So I may not understand it, but my joy is in him. And I know he's doing what's right. And so I have to trust in him. Not based on outward circumstances, the inward reality of Christ, because he's in control. You know, remember Habakkuk? During the time of the Babylonian invasion, and he was having a hard time. And at the end of Habakkuk, in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we see the correct perspective. It wasn't on the outward situation that was going on. It was on the inward reality of who God was. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. In other words, Habakkuk saying, it doesn't matter what happens outwardly. My joy is in the Lord. And that could never be taken away. He's the God of my salvation. I like what Spurgeon wrote, giving a kind of perspective if we're struggling with rejoicing always. He said, turn this book over and see if there be any precept that the Lord has given you in which he has said, groan in the Lord always. And again, I say groan. I love the guy. You may groan if you like. You have Christian liberty for that. But at the same time, do believe that you have larger liberty to rejoice, for so it is put before you. Wow. Gives us a kind of correct perspective. And then Paul says we're to pray without ceasing. In other words, our lives should be so in tune with God throughout the day. Those lines of communication are always open so he can direct us throughout the day. And I realize, oh, that's so hard. I'm so busy, you know. Let me ask you this. If you have a cell phone, how many times are you checking it? You get text messages, emails. You're probably checking it a lot throughout the day. Is your line with communication line with God open like that? Where at any moment he can speak to you. We need to be sensitive to that because he is. It's just, are we listening? One author said, Christians are to pray continually. We can't bow our heads, close our eyes, and fold our hands without ceasing. But those are customs of prayer, not prayer itself. Prayer is communication with God, and we can live each minute of the day in a constant flowing conversation with God. Exactly. We're in a situation at work or wherever. Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me. I mean, believe me, in repairing things, I'm always, Lord, I need help here. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me not to blow something up here, you know? That's a good thing. George Mueller spent hours in prayer. He said, hours every day. That's how much. But I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk and when I lie down and when I arise. And the answers are always coming. Yeah, they are. Give thanks in everything. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purposes. I don't understand all the situations that take place. I don't know why some people get sick and others don't. I don't get it. But I don't have to. If I understand who God is and that he knows what's best, he sees the total picture, I only see what's in front of me, can I trust him? Can I walk by faith? The Amplified Bible puts Romans 8:28 like this. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Absolutely believe it. And there was, my wife was telling me that one of the women at the women's Bible study was asked her if we had a son that I can't remember where he worked at, nursing home. And She said, yeah. And she knew him. She worked with him. And she was going through a hard time. This is like 10 or 12 years ago. And going through a hard time. And my son Tony was telling her, you know, you should go to church. My dad's a pastor. That was 10 or 12 years ago. Then she said she doesn't have our radio station tuned into her car. It's not programmed in at all. And all of a sudden it was on. And she heard our teachings. And she came. It took 10 or 12 years. But God has a plan. And I don't always get it. But who would have thought 10 or 12 years ago, my son saying to this woman, hey, my dad's a pastor. You should go to his church and talk with him. 10 or 12 years later, that's exactly what happens. God's timing is perfect. And what we think, well, that was useless. Nothing happened. She didn't go to get help. It wasn't the timing. We don't know how God's going to do it all. We have to trust in him. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, when joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. Yeah. You know, when you have the joy of the Lord and you're in communication with him, you're just thanking him. Lord, I don't always get it, but I'm thanking you, man. I trust you. Rejoicing in him. Let me sum it up like this, because as Paul said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for our lives. This is his will for us. After each one of these exhortations, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, we're told to do this, it is the will of God. The thought isn't, this is God's will, so you must do it. Here's the thought, this is God's will, you can do it. You get to do it. It isn't easy to rejoice always or to pray without ceasing and in everything to give thanks. But we can do it because it's God's will for us. And I got to trust in him. And that's the thing. We learn each and every day to trust in him more and more and more. And the more you know him, the more you can trust in him. You know, remember years ago, they used to do those things at work where, you know, you folded your hands and there were people behind you and you fell backwards and you were trusting that they were going to catch you. And hopefully they were your friends, right, that were back there and they caught you. Well, that's what God does. You know, he takes us a step at a time. And he's getting us to trust in him more and more where we can place our whole life into his hands and say, here I am, Lord, use me. I'm a sacrifice to you. Use me as you will. Look at verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. We can quench the spirit's work in our lives by disobeying him, rejecting what he wants us to do. It's kind of like throwing a bucket of water on a fire. It quenches it. Remember when Stephen was arrested for preaching Christ and he stood before the Jewish council and shared not only their history but also about Jesus? And in Acts 7:51 through 53, Stephen said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." And their response was this: when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at it with their teeth. What does it mean to be cut in the heart? It means conviction. They felt the conviction of God upon their lives. And instead of surrendering to God, what did they do? They rebelled. Don't want to hear. They came after Stephen, put him to death. They resisted the work the Holy Spirit was doing. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? To bring people to Jesus. And they resisted that. Even we as Christians can quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again, like I said, by not obeying what he's telling us to do or hardening our hearts what he's telling us. And even in the context here, destroying the unity and love of the Spirit through, you know, bickering and gossip and slander. And then Paul says, don't despise prophecies. Does God speak to us today? Let me be very clear on this. There are not new revelations from God, but God speaks to us and he guides us. He's not giving us new doctrine, as some would like to tell you. We already have the word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. But does God speak to our hearts? Absolutely. I know this for certain because I know right after I got saved that the Lord clearly, and it wasn't like some audible that I can, you know, like if you're talking to me, voice, but I knew he spoke to my heart and he told me so clearly, you're going to be a pastor in Wisconsin one day. I was just a new Christian. I told my wife, I told my pastor, that's all who knew about it. For 10, 11 years, we prayed about it on and off. I was offered a position as pastor at Calvary Chapel Lake Villa in Illinois, really close to Wisconsin. And I could have justified it. Lord, it's kind of on the border. If we ever get annexed into Wisconsin, maybe it'll work. But no, it was Illinois, and it was really easy. I don't know why it was so easy for me, but it was. It's like, I'm really sorry. I would love to do it. But God said he was going to bring me to Wisconsin one day, and I don't know when. You know, it's been a lot of years, but I know he's going to do it. And you know the story. You know, one day, my wife was going to a conference in Indiana. She just got out of the hospital, was really sick, didn't want to go, but she felt the Lord was going to told her to go because there's something he wanted to show her. And so she went, she got there, she called me and said, I want to come home, I'm feeling lousy. I said, just stay there. God's got something for you, just stay there. And she did, and she said, the conference was great, but there wasn't, you know how the specific thing, it wasn't there. And at the end of the conference, the leader there said, does anyone have anything they want to share or any prayer requests or anything? And there was a woman who stood up and she said, you know, could you just pray for us? Our pastor had to step down and, you know, we're looking for a new pastor. Could you pray for us? I'm from Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And it was at that moment, my wife said, I knew the whole reason I was there. She got the information. I called one of the elders up. I said, hey, look, my wife was at this conference. Can I come up there? Let me share on four Sundays. You guys pray about it. I'll pray about it. And we'll see what happens. And I knew after the first Sunday what was going to happen. God clearly spoke to me. He still speaks to us, guys. And we need to listen. But we have to be careful. We're not adding new doctrine to his word. Everything has to be done in the light of God's word. I've had people say, you know, God wants me to divorce my wife and marry this person. Because, you know, I wasn't a Christian when I married her. And it's like, well, that's too bad. That's not scriptural. But God said, no, he didn't. The devil told you to do that. God didn't. You see, God doesn't say things to you that are contrary to his word. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's going to be in accordance to his word. There's a key. Otherwise, people could say whatever they want, right? And they do. Be careful. We have to have discernment, especially in the days we're living in. We've moved so far away from the Word of God today that people don't know what's true and what's false. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. Let me give you an example. It was an interview. This guy was on a supposedly Christian radio station, and the program host asked him, how does a person become a Christian? He replied, he must realize that he's a sinner and that he cannot save himself, repent from his sin, and cast himself on the mercy of God. He must believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, whose death paid the price for his sins, and whose resurrection proves his justification. This is Christian radio, okay? The host asked, you don't believe that everyone who is a Christian must believe that, do you? He said, I replied, yes. The host responded, I certainly didn't deal with any of my sins when I became a Christian. I asked, what do you base your salvation on? And the host replied, I was into drugs and alcohol, living with my boyfriend, and into science of mind for 6 years. One day I just got Jesus' phone number and knew where he was. Not a Christian, man. Does doctrine divide? Have you ever heard, oh, come on, doctrine just divides. Let's just get along. Yes, doctrine divides. It needs to. The truth and error, it divides. And so people don't want the truth, and you need that division. It's kind of important. Test all things and hold fast to what is good, what is true, and abstain from evil. Doesn't that make sense? I hope so. Focus on things that are true and pure, noble, just, and so on. What Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. So as Christians, as we honor the Holy Spirit by obeying his word, exercising spiritual discernment, important, especially in the days we're living in. You take a stand for what you believe in love. Well, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. The word sanctify means set apart, and God has set us apart. We're to be different from the world. We're to be like Christ, and we're to be set apart completely, wholly. But we can't sanctify ourselves. You know, some Christians like, you know, I just got to try harder. That's not how you're going to accomplish it. You have to surrender. Sanctification is God's work. Himself, he's going to preserve us. He who calls us is faithful. He's going to do it. And I think some of the reasons we get so frustrated is because we try to do it ourselves. Self-help book on Christianity. How to be a better Christian. Self-help? No, I need God's help. I can't do it. That's a key. In fact, Morris put it like this. He said, the way in which he affects the transition indicates that it is only in the power of the God on whom he calls that his exhortations can be brought to fruition. I have been urging you to do certain things, but it is only in God's strength that you'll be able to do them. Absolutely, guys. Justification is instantaneous the moment we get saved. Sanctification is a lifelong process that God is working in us. And one day, he will complete that process. He saved us, he sanctified us, and he'll bring us to glory. We can take that to the bank. It's a done deal. And yeah, we do have a free will. We can obey him or disobey him. But there's always consequences when we disobey, because God loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He won't leave us in a condition that is sinful. He'll always be working with us, trying to draw us back to himself. And he'll complete that work. Verse 25 says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. So Paul coveted the prayers of the Thessalonian believers. And the same is true. I covet your prayers. I appreciate and need them. And then Paul talks about this holy kiss. Keep in mind, in the Middle East, and they still do that today. You know, they give the little kiss on the cheek, right? That's what this is. We tend to give handshakes or bear hugs, right? That's what we do. And keep this in mind. The men kiss the men, and the women kiss the women, all right? Otherwise, you know, that can cause problems. We don't do that here. That's not part of our culture. So, you know, we give a handshake again, like I said, or we give a bear hug, whatever. But that's what they did. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Isn't that interesting? This letter was not to be framed or honored, right? What was this letter for? To be read to everyone. Isn't that interesting? We need to read through this letter as we've done, learn the lessons of faith. And too often today, you know, we get bits and pieces from letters. Well, why? We've got the whole book. We got the whole letter. Read the whole thing. And I love how Paul started out this letter. He started out with the grace of God. How does he finish the letter? With the grace of God. It doesn't get any better than that. I know that I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for my life. If it was based upon what I have done, I would never know. What are you laughing at over there? Well, because you know me. You absolutely know me. It's true. It's absolutely true. Every single one of us are saved by grace. We don't deserve it. What a wonderful gift, man. You know, we should rejoice every day. Lord, thank you for another day. I get to share Jesus with people. They get to see you living in me. Saved by grace, sustained by grace, and one day taken to glory, all by the grace of God, his unmerited favor towards us. We don't deserve it, but he freely gives it to us. You just receive that love into your life. And I'll close like Paul closed, because I don't know how you close any better than this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this wonderful letter. So encouraging, Lord. And Lord, just lessons on how we need to walk as Christians, which, again, we cannot accomplish on our own. We could try, but we're going to fail. And we truly need your Spirit working in us. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to what your Spirit is showing us. and then just walk accordingly, Lord. That's the wonderful thing about Christianity. It's not like the other religions that tell you how to live but never give you the power to accomplish it. But Jesus says he's going to send us another helper, and it's the Holy Spirit who he's given to us, who will help us to live the way you want us to. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And Lord, again, guide us this week and help us, Lord, to live lives that would glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.